Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
He's here for the very first time today. We love welcoming those that are first visitors to church, because we are not here to just have an organization or an insular focused community, but we believe we're called to reach the community that we are part of and the world we're part of, which means that will be people who will be joining us. So we want to warmly welcome you to be here for the first time today. So if you are here for the first time, can you do us a favor? Can you put up your hand? Give us a wave. We want to put something in your hand. We want to show you all that. Yes, sir. Thank you. It's so good to have you with us today. And inside of that welcome pack, there's some things you can get to know us a little bit more, who we are as a church here in the church. But we'd also love to have a chat on how you came to be here today. And so hang out after the service, chat with the team that gave you that welcome pack. I'm fine myself. My wife, Hannah, and I have the privilege of being location pastors here. And so we want to warmly welcome you to church today. And we just know that God is speaking, He's going to touch your heart as you are with us today. And you joined us actually during a season of consecration. And what consecration is, it's kind of an old-fashioned word. Don't really hear it all too often these days. But consecration for us as believers simply means to be set apart, to be sacred, to be holy. And so as we came into this new year, 2022, as a church all across Melbourne and the world, all of our locations, we're joined together in 21 days of prayer and fasting. And prayer and fasting is a part of living a consecrated life, where we are setting apart, instead of having food, we are intensely and intentionally drawing close to God and praying. We're setting that time apart to pray and actually seek God and believing that He is working, He's listening, He's hearing, and we get to hear from Him as we pray, as we fast. So today, you joined us for our third Sunday in our consecration series, and I really pray and believe that all of us are touched by the Word of God today. But before continuing, I do just want to let us know that this Thursday, as a location, we have a location gathering. It's a very special location gathering. And so if you did not already receive a text about that, then come and speak to the team at Info Hub. We want to make sure if you're planting this church that you are getting text and information that's going out, because there will be times during this year where there will be different things coming out, and we just need to let you know ASAP, so we'll send a text. And so if you didn't receive a text about Thursday, come and speak to the Info Hub team. Make sure that they can get that to you. The Info Hub is outside of that door on your way out, or is on your way in, for those that are not familiar with what an Info Hub is yet. So chat to them. But this Thursday, 6:45 p.m. arrival, Jake, with 7 p.m. start at Salvation Army in Dingley. So the Kingston Salvation Army, we're going to be meeting, and we have a very exciting and a very important location announcement for 2022. So we want to have as many people there as possible. You're looking at me like, why can't you tell me right now? Well, because it's not Thursday, the 3rd of February. And not everyone from our location is here. So you're going to just have to come on Thursday night if you want to know what we are sharing. Do you want to know what we're sharing?
Yeah.
Come Thursday. But today, I really do believe that this word has the opportunity to transform the way that we relate to God and the way that we live our life as disciples, as Christians, as followers of Jesus. All throughout the Bible, God declares to us as His people that His people are people of prayer. All throughout the Bible, we see that it's followers of God that are people of prayer. And prayer for a believer, James, is like oxygen to the body. Yeah. It really is. Prayer for a believer is like oxygen to a body. And many believers are actually walking around suffocating themselves because they're not spending time in prayer. And I really believe that through the Word of God today and this message, that some of us are going to grow in our understanding of prayer. not just understanding and knowing a little bit more about the significance of it and the importance of it, but that right now the Holy Spirit will continue to burn your heart for prayer. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
See, prayer is an individual. It's a believer communicating with God, where we speak to God, but we also listen to Him. So prayer is communication. It's one of the simplest definitions. Prayer is communication with God. But prayer is also a weapon for us in our faith. Prayer is how the power of God is released upon us and in our life and through us. And so prayer is vital for a believer. Say, prayer is vital.
Prayer is vital.
Good. Now, I do want to mention that very outset, it would be inaccurate to think that we could cover all of the dynamics of prayer and exhaust the principle, the truth, and the topic of prayer in just one day, in one message. So today isn't an exhaustive topical conversation about prayer, but it's about a communication to what a key theme and truth is for a believer when it comes to prayer. See, I'm going to declare to you today that prayer fuels power. See, our prayer life is what fuels the power of God in our life. And today, the text that we're going to be actually having as our foundation is in the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14 and 15. So go ahead, open up your Bible to John 14 and make a note of that in John 15. And as you do that, I'm going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are living. Jesus, that as we heard today, you paid the price for our sin upon the cross. Eternal sacrifice for our sin. But God, we thank you that you were not just crucified and buried, but you are resurrected. Lord God, through your resurrection, there is life in your word. We thank you today, God, that you're drawing us into a place of being hungrier for your presence and growing in understanding prayer is. God, I praise you today, your name, Jesus. And I pray that these words today will bring life to our faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So in John 14, I'm going to start off by reading from verse 12, and it's Jesus speaking to his disciples then and us now. And Jesus says in verse 12, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he or she do." He says, "Because I am going to the Father. So whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." He says, "If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." And then just over one chapter, John 15, verse 4, Jesus again speaking to disciples. He's saying, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Verse 5, "I am the vine," Jesus says, "you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in them, he or she it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." He says, "If you abide in me, though, my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." Jesus is detailing, describing, and declaring for you and I as disciples that the way that we live a life of power in through God is through prayer. We see that the evidence of prayer in Jesus' life was the fuel of the power of God that he ministered in and through. We see it says even often Jesus withdrew to lonely places to seek his heavenly Father's heart. So we know the very foundation, the very oxygen to the ministry of Jesus was prayer. And so the truth for us is that if we're going to live not just as followers of Jesus who persevere in our faith, but then beyond just persevering and actually allowing God to move through us in signs and wonders, then prayer must be a consistent, a vital, an everyday thing for us as believers.
Amen.
The Word of God declares to you and I, as believers, that we are called to experience and live in the power of God. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. The greater works than these will he or she do. God desires for you and I to not just read these words and hope for it, but he declares in his word some principles we'll continue to unpack today, but his desire is that we would actually experience it. He says, truly, truly, I say to you. He said that if we are in him and aligned to his will and to his purpose, that you and I are meant to experience a supernatural fingerprint upon our life, a supernatural fingerprint upon our prayers and our seeking God. And as we walk out our faith in him, that there be a supernatural fingerprint upon you and I. And he declares that it's not just abiding in him, but a key truth for us is that prayer is the fuel by which the power of God is lit in our life. You getting that today?
Yeah.
And yet sometimes, maybe even right now, you might be wondering, well, if that's true, Don, then why am I not experiencing the reality of that in my life? Well, I put before you, it's either God promises things and doesn't follow through on them, or there's something else that's an issue. There's something else that's going on. Either God promises things and doesn't follow through on them, or there is something else that is going on that's limiting, that's hindering us from experiencing what Christ desires for us. And if God, it's not God not following through. In Numbers 29, verse 19, it says, God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said and will he not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not fulfill it? And even in John 15, Jesus says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And he says he chose us and appointed us that we should go and bear fruit, and that our fruit should abide, or it should last, it should persevere, so that whatever you ask, you hear that again?
Yes.
So that whenever you pray in the Father's name, he may give it to you. So we see that it's God's desire that we would experience it. And he's not one that would lie or say things to tempt us. And so we can now come to the conclusion that if we're not experiencing the supernatural fingerprint of God on our life, then there has to be some other issue going on. See, what can limit us from experiencing God's power in our life? Well, I want us to come to see today that if we're experiencing a lack of God's power, then there is a connection issue with the source. See, you will lack power if you're disconnected from the source. Simply put, there's no power, you've got a connection issue going on. Jesus says what in John 15, we read it, he says, abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in them, he or she is that bears much fruit. There's truth in the Word of God.
Yep.
He's revealing things to you and I today. And in light of this, I do want to share something. So Hannah. So there's a day and time where I walked into our home and Hannah was sitting on the couch and I began speaking to her. And I realized as I was speaking to her that she had her phone on the floor and she had the charging cable plugged into the phone, like this. She had the phone there, the cable's there. It was even plugged into the wall. And I was talking to her and I was realizing as I was speaking to her that she had the phone plugged into the cable. The cable was plugged into the wall charger. The wall charger was plugged into the power socket. And I couldn't help but sitting there thinking that she has no idea that her phone is plugged into all the seemingly useful tools, but not the source of power. And I'm speaking to her, and I began to just wonder how long it would be before she began to realize that she's got everything that seems necessary for her phone to be recharged and have a source of power to it, but it was lacking its actual connection to the power source that it needed. And just like if I had that moment said, "Kitty, your phone isn't actually plugged into the wall socket," there would have come a moment where she would have looked at her phone, the battery would have been decreasing, and it would have eventually died. And she would have been asking herself, I'm sure, the question, what's happened to the power? Now, unfortunately, this is a very real metaphor for what it can look like for many believers in our faith, where we are doing the things that people have told us to do, or the Word of God describes for us to do, and we're doing things that's necessary for us to be able to have a life of faith. And we've got the charger, the phone, we've got our life plugged into the Word of God. We actually carry it in our man bag or our backpack. We bring it to every place that we go, to lunch hour, Jamie, and we bring it to youth camp, and we take it to our workplace. And so we bring our Bible places, we read the Bible, and we're doing things that people have told us we should be doing, or we know we should be doing in our faith, maybe even praying at certain ways and times, and we're doing things that are necessary for us to be followers of God. We have all the tools, but unless we're actually connected to the power, every single one of us are going to come to a point in our serving of God where we're going to ask ourselves the question, what's happened to the power?
It's good, Don.
And this can often be a metaphor of what we look like in life. We're on the outset, it looks like we've got everything we need as a follower of Jesus. And yet, we have disconnected ourselves from the only true source of power. Did you know that if you even have your cable in your wall plug-in attached to the wall for a long period of time, and you take it out, even for a millisecond or for moments, there's still power that's in this that goes through to your phone. And what can happen is sometimes as believers, we actually stop seeking God in prayer. And it might be for a day, it might be for a week, or it might be for a month, and we're going along and we're doing the things of a Christian faith, and we still think we've got power because things are still happening, and things are still going okay, and things are still going all right. But just like this charger has a limited amount of capacity before it in itself dies and your phone is no longer receiving that source, you and I as believers need to recognize, even if we've gone maybe a day, a week, a month, or a year without drawing closer into God, there's going to come a point in a day and a time when you and I are going to become exhausted because we're no longer connected to the source.
Yeah, that's good.
Did you know one of the top issues that causes breakdown in any relationship in any area of our life is communication issues? Communication is one of the foundations to every relationship. Isn't that right, Chris and Ken? Remember that from pre-marriage counseling. And where there's a lack of communication in a place of being consistent, honest, open, transparent, at some point in time, there's going to be a breakdown in the connection of that relationship. And when there's a breakdown in communication in any relationship, there comes a point where the consequences of the breakdown of communication ends up impacting that relationship and the connection between those two people. Communication amongst people needs to be effective, honest, and consistent. And what's true naturally is true spiritually. See, prayer is communication with God, isn't it? Where we speak to God and we hear God. And we speak to God and we hear God. It's not just speaking, it's also listening. And what's true naturally is true spiritually. See, if you and I do not grow in knowing how to have effective, consistent, and open communication with God, then at some point in our faith and following Him, there's going to come a point where there's going to be a connection issue. And it often happens when we go through an experience that we were not expecting. Where something bad comes up, and it's in that place often where we step away from God rather than drawing closer to God. The healthiest communication is effective, it's consistent, and it's honest. That's the type of relationship that God desires to unite. That's why it's a necessity that you and I are not disconnected from the source when things come up. And often what can happen in life is when things come up, we can begin to question if prayer really works. We begin to wonder if following God is even worth it. And if we were to be honest with ourselves in those moments, sometimes what ends up happening, we're wondering, does prayer even work? Is following God even worth it? Is we actually become a little bit just more distant from God. And we can actually come to a place where we are silent in our doubts, not bringing that to God, not bringing that before other believers that we know are more mature in their faith. And we can come to a place where maybe we don't tell the people, but we become a little bit more silent in our doubting in who God is, or we become a little bit more skeptic of when things are declared that prayer fuels power over reading God's word. And like, yeah, God, I see it in the word, but I'm not experiencing that in my life. And yet we need to understand that it's often a connection issue. Or maybe we're not understanding more fully God's heart and who He is. See, days and times where I've got my phone plugged into the cable, into the wall, I think, and I look at my phone and it's not charging, I don't straight away think, oh, there's a power outage in the neighborhood. I don't straight away think, oh, electricity's run out, the world is over. What do I do? I go, is it plugged in? Yep, cable's there. Is the cable? It's not even plugged in into the wall charger. Yet, often that's what can happen. As believers, if God doesn't answer our prayers straight away, or we seem to begin to doubt certain things in His Word, sometimes what can happen is we can jump to the conclusion that God doesn't love us, or that prayer doesn't work, or that God's not real. But I want to encourage you today, beckon you today, first check the source. How's your daily walk with God going? Are you getting into the Word of God? The Bible declares that man and woman does not just live on bread alone, but on every word of God. First check the source before just thinking and coming to a conclusion that God is at work and walking out on your faith. What's prayer like? Are you growing in your understanding of what prayer even is? Are you communicating with God? I want to tell you today, number one thing to do when we come to places of doubt and skepticism and even not thinking that we're hearing God, that He's hearing us, is go and check the source. Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. And it's through that place of abiding and residing that there's a significant change that happens in us to know that even in the midst of a horrible situation that we can encounter the peace of God, which transcends all understanding of our intellect and of our mind. First thing to do, say, check the source. As believers, you and I are called to abide in Christ. And I've already alluded to it today, but the number one way that we abide in Christ in hearing Him and speaking to Him is through consistent and authentic prayer. Amen. So I'm going to read John 15 again, 4-7, but in the Passion Translation. It says this, So, everyone say so.
So.
You must remain in life union with me. He says, for I remain in life union with you. For as a branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit, so your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined to mine. He says, I am the sprouting vine, and you are my branches. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. But when you live separated from me, you are powerless. If a person is separated from me, they are discarded. Such branches are gathered up, thrown in the fire, and burned. But if you live in life union with me, and if my words live powerfully within you, then you can pray. You can ask whatever you desire, and it will be done. Jesus says, abide in me through prayer and experience my power in your life. If we're going to abide in Christ authentically and consistently, then more and more prayer must become our first response, not our last resort.
Yeah.
Authentic and consistent prayer is choosing to draw closer to God when we do not feel like it, and when we feel like it. That's why it's called a sacrifice to praise. Because if we did everything only when we felt like it, well, then that would be a sacrifice, that would be a convenience. We need to draw closer to God authentically and consistently, and in every area of our life, if we're going to abide in that place of prayer, then one of the greatest questions that we need to ask over and over and over again is, have I prayed about it? Not just what does Kurt say about it, you're a wise man, love your feedback, but have I prayed about it? Have I prayed about it? And there comes a point where we need to pray and give our plans to God and actually start speaking and allow Him to speak and us to listen. When you're deciding what school to go to, the university, have you prayed about it? When you're wondering that relationship that you're in is one that you should continue to be in, if you're not married, have you prayed about it? If you're wondering, does God really care about your health, rather than going to just Google doctor and your friends, have you prayed about it? See, if we're going to be persevering Christians, then we have to be praying people. The number one question we need to ask over and over and over again is, have I prayed about it? You might be wondering, well, I don't know how to pray, so I don't pray. Well, let me give you some advice and help today. The first thing is just start speaking to God. It's communication with your Creator. So first of all, don't make it complicated. Just keep it simple.
Yeah.
And just start doing it. Just start speaking to God. Like, but how? Well, okay. You're going to a job interview, and you're a bit nervous about the job interview. Well, on the way in the vehicle, or on the train, or on the tram, you can even do it under your breath. You can put your headphones in so people can talk on the phone. And you can say, dear God, give me peace today. What? Yep. It's as simple as that. You're doing the dishes at your house. All of a sudden, your child comes to the forefront of your mind because they're beginning to do things that are concerning you for their own well-being or for their life or faith. And you're doing the dishes, and your child comes up to your mind and you begin to worry about it. But guess what? As you're doing the dishes, you can actually begin to pray peace over your child. You can even begin to say, dear God, thank you for Zephaniah. God, I pray today, Lord, that he would encounter you, and that through your Spirit, you would continue to guide and lead him in following you all the days of his life. Just start praying. Keep it simple. And when hard things come up, well, keep it up. Keep it consistent in your life. So that's one of the greatest things for us to understand, is that we don't need to make it complicated. Actually, God doesn't want us to make it complicated, because He already knows our heart and our desires, but He wants us to come authentically and come consistently. And so just start doing it. But as you do that, also begin to read the Word of God.
Yeah.
See, all throughout the Bible, we see that people brought their concerns, people brought their doubts, people brought their thanksgiving, people brought their gratitude, people came to him. The Bible is full of things where men and women, just like you and me, brought their authenticity before God and were crying out to him because they had a revelation that it was prayer that fueled power in the life of them to persevere. And so begin speaking to God, communicate with him, but don't just stop there. Actually open up the Word of God and begin to read the Word, because as you do that, God will begin to speak to you through the Word. It is living, it's active, and so you'll begin to actually hear God speaking to you through the Word. It's one of the most consistent ways that God speaks, through the Word of God. So begin to read the Bible, begin to read the Gospels, begin to read what Jesus says about the Word, about prayer. Maybe get a reading plan for YouVersion and begin to study and just read what the Word of God says about prayer. Not only that, join a life group. Life groups are the most consistent and primary way that you are cared for and that you are discipled. Join a life group in 2022. Join with other believers and grow and learn together. Not only that, but I would put before you, join our corporate times of prayer. Whether that be at a 7 a.m. Zoom this week for consecration, or Wednesday night at 7 p.m., join an environment where people are getting together hungrier and passionate for prayer. Just get into an environment, and through that, I'm telling you, you'll begin to be learning more about prayer just by being in an environment of prayer. And then on top of that, supplement your learning through actually doing it, and through the Word, and through life group, and through corporate worship by resourcing yourself. There's a book that Hannah was reading this month. It's called How to Pray by Peter Gregg. And it, I'm not quite sure who said that, but you can see it. It's called How to Pray, A Simple Guide for Normal People. You can get it online, go to Kindle. But whatever you do, make it a decision that you're going to just start praying. And as you pray, you're going to learn about prayer. And as you learn about prayer, you're going to be in community and pray with other people through life group and through corporate prayer. I'm telling you, if we would all make the decision to choose to have prayer be a consistent thing in our life, we will begin to grow and mature when it comes to the things of God. Because prayer for a believer is like oxygen to a body.
Yeah.
See, what determines the fervency of prayer in our life? It's when we come to understand that the power of prayer is necessary for us to not only see the fingerprint of God, but to persevere in our faith. When we come to understand the power of prayer, it becomes a priority in our life. I'm going to invite Hannah and the team up. There's a man by the name of Donald S. Whitney, great man. You guys still with me?
Yeah.
Okay, just wasn't that funny. Okay. He once said, often, we don't pray because we doubt that anything will actually happen if we pray. We may not say it out loud, but if we believed that certain visible results would begin the moment we began to pray, there would be holes in the knees of every pair of Christian-owned pants in the world. Wow. I read this and it just hit me straight to my heart. Because I began to ask God a question. Do I believe this? Because if I believed that prayer feels power, really and truly, then my life more and more would begin to look like prayer is my first response, not my last resort. And he wasn't talking about 21st century culture and fashion where people pay a retailer for holes in their pants. He's talking about people praying to God because it's a necessity in their life. And I flatline to heaven in spiritual warfare for you and I. It is vital and key as a lifeline in our faith. We will not persevere in our faith truly, passionately, and fruitfully if we do not become people of prayer. I declare that this will be a revelation for us, for you and me this year. 1 John 5 says this: this is the confidence that we have towards God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have a request that we have asked of Him. Would you stand? I pray that this year you and I will grow in a revelation that prayer fuels power, that our prayer life is what ignites the power of God in our life. And this would not just be a conversation about prayer, but this would be a holy calling to a place of residing in God authentically and consistently through drawing closer to Him, knowing that as we learn more about His will and learn more about His word and abide in Him and grow in that, that you and I would discover the beautiful reality that when we pray, God hears us.
Yeah.
And when we pray, things happen. And when we pray, mountains move. When we pray, bodies can be healed. When we pray, minds can be set at free. When we pray, souls can leap in freedom as the gospel is shared. When we pray, nations can be impacted. When we pray, lives can be changed. John Piper once said, prayer is a walkie-talkie for warfare, not just a domestic intercom for increasing our conveniences.
Yeah, that's good.
Jesus said, I will build my church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He says, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of God, and what you chains loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. What you loose, Christian, on earth will be loosed in heaven. What you alley bind on earth will be bound in heaven, because you are my children. And it's in the place of prayer where we get to co-labor with God, not just in our needs being met, but His kingdom being advanced. And today, I just know that the Father's heart is asking us to draw closer to Him, to a place where it's not just us walking around with the tools of Christianity, but we're saying nice words, we're doing good things, but that you and I, first and foremost, would check the source and see if we're abiding in Him. I believe today is a divine connection day, where you and I will be reconnected to our source, Jesus Christ. We be reminded of who He is. And it's in the place of doubt and even skepticism of the things of God where God's asking us, would you bring that to me? Would you draw closer to me? Would you talk to me about that doubt? Would you talk to me about that fear? Would you actually talk to me about your wondering about what was just spoken on Sunday? Friends, if we are going to be people who experience the power of God in our life, then prayer must become consistent in our faith. It's not something to be guilt-ridden and shameful about. It's just something that we just need to respond to. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he or she do, because I am going to the Father. So whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you pray, petition, ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Do you want to see God do supernatural things in your life?
Yeah.
Do Do you want to see God do supernatural things in your life?
Yes.
Check the source. Draw closer to God. Read His Word. Begin speaking to Him. Ask Him things. Join a life group. Get in the environment. Corporate prayer. Beyond all of that, make sure your eyes are fixed upon Jesus Christ. We just lift up your hands. In just a moment, we're going to continue to worship God with song. But before we do that, I want to pray over us. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that your heart for us is that we would not feel guilty or shameful about what we haven't been doing. But God, your heart for us is that we'd be set free from guilt and shame. And we'd be encouraged, we'd be convicted by the Spirit to draw closer to you, not out of a task, but God, out of a desire, God, that you would beckon us to come and speak to you about things, that we would seek your heart for the needs of our life. But then, God, above and beyond that, we'd also seek your desire for the world that we're in. God, I'm praying right now today for me and each one of us that are here today, God, that we have greater revelation to know your heart for us, that we would begin to declare the words of the psalmist in 118, that we would give thanks to the Lord for you are good. God, that we would give thanks to you because your steadfast love endures forever. God, that we go on to say it's better to take refuge in you than to trust in man. God, it's better to take refuge in you than to trust in all of princes and finance and provision, anything that this world provides. God, it's better to seek you in that place of prayer. God, our heart is broken. God, when we are tired or exhausted, God, when we are wondering and even doubtful of things to come, God, when we are excited, Lord, expecting, God, no matter what our emotional state, our mental state may be, our physical state may be, God, I pray today that we would be people of prayer.
Yeah.
Jesus, let us have a greater revelation of your name. So whether it be the holes in our pants, or the marks on our carpet, or the lives that have changed, the community that's reached, the influence that happens, God, that it will be evident that we are abiding in you, and God, we've taken you seriously at your word. We begin to pray for other people in our world. We begin to intercede on behalf of Christians being martyred and oppressed overseas. We begin to pray for our co-workers, God, our employers, our employees, our children, our friends, our family, God, our parents, our siblings, God, that we would take this world seriously to know that our prayer life is what lights and ignites the power of you in our life. So God, I pray right now that as we continue to worship in song, that things would fall off us that need to fall off. God, whether it be motivation or mindset or habits, any hindrance, God, I pray clear right now, set us free. Set us free. Set us free. In your grace and your mercy, God, have your way. Right now, let's continue to worship as the team leads us. And want us to focus on God. There's things He's going to speak right now. Some of you here have pictures and visions and images. Some of you are actually going to be overwhelmed by emotion. Just allow this moment to be a divine moment in response to the Word of God.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.